Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning. And it's Monday at 8 o'clock, and that can only mean one thing. We head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our good friend Corey Curtis from News 2, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic. Corey, how we doing? What's going on?
I'm good. Robert, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. A lot of good football to watch yesterday. It's good stuff.
I'm watching some Bears-Packers highlights right now.
It was a great game. I mean, that's why I say sometimes you can play well and lose. It's okay. Look, if they had lost 35-7, I'd be a little bitter right now. I'd feel a little bad. But, you know, to go Lambeau and play that well, I'm pretty happy.
Well, and we get to see it again here in a couple weeks on Sunday Night Football. Yeah. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, hopefully it means something again. The Bears' schedule's brutal down the stretch. I hope to make the playoffs, but I don't think it's a lock when you look at who they got to play.
They do have some tough ones coming up, no doubt about that. So, Corey, a lot of things shocking about yesterday's performance, you know, not the least of which is the Titans getting into the 30s and winning the game on the road. I guess I want to start here. PFF put this out there. And when you read it, it's almost stunning to talk about. Myles Garrett held to a 4% pass rush win rate, which is the second lowest in his entire career. And it's this Tennessee Titans team and this Tennessee Titans offensive line, Corey, that made that happen. How stunning is that yesterday?
It's extremely stunning because, you know, we were worried about not just, you know, the sack record being in play with three or four sacks, but like the single game record being in play with seven, because it's just been, I mean, they've given up the most sacks this year, and you know, he's a monster. And the one sack he got wasn't because he won against like Dan Moore or Udo or Latham. It was a stunt where he looped all the way over from the right side over the left guard. And, you know, he's fast enough, athletic enough to close that gap really quickly and get the sack. So, you know, they did an outstanding job. And I've always said, you know, you guys heard me for probably 2 years on this show, say they're not going to be any good until they can win in the trenches. And, you know, you win in the trenches and you score 31 points. It's not a mystery. It's not like some great conspiracy that you had to figure out. You know, just how did they do it? You know, that's a bigger question. I do think the coaching staff deserves a lot of credit for how they handled Myles Garrett. I think running at him was absolutely the right thing to do. I think they took advantage. Look, he's after the sack record. He knows he's going against a team that struggles to protect the quarterback. He was in full pass rush mode, and they took advantage of it. They ran the ball right at him while he was looping around trying to get to Cam Ward. And then I think we need to ask the question, is Corey Levin that much better than Lloyd Cushenberry?
That's a fair point. You know, Levin has been a solid guy who's kind of been hanging around and definitely, I think, looked better yesterday than Cushenberry has looked this year. But how much of all of this, because I agree with you, Corey, it was the exact right game plan. I don't watch the Browns a ton. To me, that's what I would
– Yeah.
Like any team should think that way, right? Like hit him as much as you can, run at him as much as you can, and then roll the pocket the other way. You know, but how much of yesterday do you think can be taken forward from the Titans in that regard?
Well, I mean, I think it shows these guys they can win some at the line of scrimmage. So, I mean, so hopefully, you know, that moves forward, but – You know, like I said, that was a successful game plan against what was the second-ranked defense in the league?
Yes.
Yeah. And so, you know, you should be able to do that against, you know, lesser defenses. You know, you should be able to have a plan, you know, to win. But again, you know, like you're talking about with, you know, pass rush win rate, you need to be able to win reps. And, you know, maybe it's these guys coming together some 12 games, 13 games into the season. You know, it's like I always say, one's got to become two. You know, right now, this is just a fluke, right? I mean, you have to – congratulations, it's great, it's fantastic. But if they don't do it again, it's just a fluke. And so, you know, who's up next? San Francisco?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's not going to be easy, but you got a chance to show you got better and it wasn't a fluke. When they beat Arizona, the next week they came out and showed it was an absolute fluke and the coach got fired. So, you know, they need to show, you know, win or lose, that it wasn't a fluke. I mean, we've seen them lose and been like, hey, that's a step in the right direction. And I think that can still happen against San Francisco. I think you can play well and lose and be a step in the right direction. But we'll see, because, you know, for now it's a fluke because it's once.
What did you make of – I mean, it is kind of amazing, Corey. They scored 31 points and the quarterback threw for 117 yards in this game.
Yeah.
But when Tony Pollard –
ran for 180.
Yeah, when Tony Pollard plays like the best game of his career, I guess that can happen at that point. What did you make of the Cam Ward versus Shedeur Sanders conversation that took the league by storm yesterday and the way those two played?
Well, I mean, they played two different games, number one. You know, one of them was playing the second-ranked defense, the other one wasn't. And, you know, the game was called for them that way. Shedeur made some great throws. He made some bad throws. You know, Cam made some good throws, and he made some not-so-good throws. I mean, but they were asked to do different things. You know, the Titans' goal was to not let Myles Garrett wreck the football game. That's the way they played it. They ran quick-hitting stuff. They ran away from – they ran at him. They rolled the pocket away from him. You know, he threw two touchdown passes, which he hadn't done all year. So I don't – the stats will make you hate Cam Ward's performance yesterday. I did not hate Cam Ward's performance yesterday. You know, if anything, Shedeur Sanders was better than I expected, and I say, you know, congratulations, you know, to him. Ultimately, you know, winning the game is what matters. I think the most shocking thing is Stefanski taking the ball out of Sanders' hands with a chance to tie the game.
Yeah, between that, you know, and I'm sorry, but I understand we see it sometimes, the down two touchdowns go for two.
Yeah.
You know, when you get you score, I hate it. I hate it.
Yeah.
You know, they just kick two extra points and it's an overtime game or you know, or maybe
against
the
worst team in football.
Right, right.
So when you play the worst team in football, the longer the game goes, the better it should go for you.
That's true.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, like you're at home against the worst team in the NFL, so you don't have to do stuff like that. That's what a team that's like.
No, you don't have to take chances.
yeah. But then between that and him saying after the game that now Dylan Gabriel is going to possibly start next week,
wow.
I don't know.
Wow.
I mean, I might be on the fire Stefanski train and maybe not. I actually went on Cleveland radio Saturday, and like they are blown away that Titans fans might be interested in Stefanski, which is
after watching that 2-point conversion attempt, I may be too.
I've got it all wrong with this guy. I don't know.
Well, it's funny because, you know, like Robbie hates Matt LaFleur.
That's true.
And I think there's a lot of 12-1
against the Bears.
There's a lot of fan bases that we kill for Matt LaFleur because he's won a heck of a lot of football games. You know, Kevin Stefanski's been the NFL Coach of the Year twice. You know, Mike Vrabel is the NFL Coach of the Year with the Titans, and he's probably going to be the NFL Coach of the Year this year. When you've got a quarterback, you usually look like a pretty good coach, and you usually win games. You know, Cleveland's been in a quarterback black hole. Every year they've gotten decent quarterback play. You know, Stefanski has won. And, you know, that's the NFL, guys. You know, now I say this, think about this. We could have a playoffs this year without Mahomes, without Burrow, and without Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
And they're considered three of the top five. And, you know, that blows my whole, you know, you could quarterback play, you win. But Lamar Jackson hasn't played well this year. Joe Burrow's been hurt most of the year. So that necessarily is true, and the Chiefs got old. I took that somewhere else. I'm sorry.
And
okay.
Bad.
That's okay.
And bad all of a sudden.
That's okay. So on that front, when you're looking around now the AFC South, you've seen Houston after starting 0-3. They're right back in the AFC South. I mean, Indianapolis, along with New England, was the story of the league early in the year.
Yeah.
And now
they're
Daniel
done.
Jones tore his Achilles, and they're done. At that point. And Jacksonville just keeps rolling off wins.
Trade looks awesome now.
Yeah, it's looking real good. Looking real good stuff. So what do you make of kind of how that part of it has shaken out. And I guess, who do you have winning the division? Is it your beloved Jacksonville Jaguars, who, as we know, you're the most popular man in Duval County? Or is it Houston?
I am. I cannot – look, the Jaguars may win the division. I don't know what their schedules are the rest of the way, but I don't think anybody wants to play Houston because their defense is just lethal. I mean, the front that they've assembled, and, you know, you got to give their coaching staff has done a nice job of pivoting. When DeMeco turned the play calling over to Matt Burke, you know, their offense has gotten a little bit better. Their defense has been rock solid. That shows up pretty much every week. And you don't know what you're going to get from Trevor Lawrence week to week. And so I think ultimately, you know, the Jags may win the division, but Houston's the team I don't think anybody wants to play.
By the way, real quickly, the rest of the schedule for the Jags: home against the Jets, road against Denver, road against Indy with no Daniel Jones, and home against the Titans. That's how they close out.
So they're probably, what, 12-5?
Yeah.
Okay, which means they'll go like 10-7. Because that's the NFL.
That's true. That is true. Only team they beat in that stretch is the Broncos.
Yeah. By the way, over-under was 33.5 yesterday.
Yeah.
33.5. Who had a 60-point shootout between Shador Sanders and Cam Ward in the snow?
Yeah. The over-under is almost blown up at halftime, and Myles Garrett is completely stonewalled by the Titans. So, no, it all makes sense. Speaking of the Texans, Corey, I mean, I'm still trying to understand what Andy Reid was thinking last night. Like, as bad as it was, you know, Kelsey gives him a gift pick and all that stuff, but that happened after. Like, it's a 10-all game. Your defense is playing great, and you go for it inside your own 30 against that defense. Like, that's like incredible coaching malpractice by him. I don't think enough is being made of that, or maybe I'm missing it.
Well, I think he's got enough skins on the wall where he can make a mistake and get away with one. But
they're 6-6, so you had to win that game.
Yeah. I don't know if that's incredible coaching, like overconfidence or incompetence. I mean, you know, was that panic?
Yeah,
I mean, it kind of looked like panic. Like, oh my
God.
But
you don't panic when your defense is playing like that. You just let that keep happening.
But, you know, every time they've done crap like that for the last decade, they've pulled it off somehow.
Yeah,
and that's true. I think they thought, well, you know, Mahomes will get the yard and a half. And, you know, because it's a yard and a half and he's Patrick Mahomes. So I understand why you would think that, but they're clearly not the same team. I mean, you know, it's funny. Everybody gets all upset about the Titans' draft position. And, you know, I'm like, look, the Eagles and Chiefs, they didn't get where they are by drafting first, guys. They drafted a lot of good players and developed them, you know, year after year after year after year. And so, you know, don't panic about the Titans not picking first. But, you know, you have to say about the Chiefs in the last few years, they have not done a good job of drafting and developing, you know, skill players around Mahomes. You know, Kelsey has gotten old. You know, Rice is a good player on the outside, but, you know, he's in trouble half the time. And, you know, they don't have enough weapons. Hollywood Brown is 40. I mean, you know, and we can make excuses for him all we want and say that these guys are all great. They're not. Xavier Worthy, we thought was going to be a good player, and he's kind of a complimentary piece.
Yeah.
And, you know, you thought he was going to be more than that, but that's all he's looking. He's looking like Willie Gault for the Bears in the 80s.
Nice.
Mm.
Nice pull. Look at you. Brings it all the way back around.
Yeah.
Willie was a really nice speed piece for the Bears and what they had. And, you know, if you had more consistent performance from the other two receivers, you know, Worthy could be a much more dangerous weapon, I think.
Corey, it was nice to talk to you on a Monday where the Titans won a football game that was not literally handed to them by the other team. It's been a long time since we've done that.
Because they tried to hand it back.
They did.
I mean, the penalties late on the defense are just horrific. And you know, I always say, you know, you can pull a play or two here and there that turns a loss into a win. Now, last week I could not say that. But, you know, gosh, if they complete that pass to Chim Dike in the first half and don't throw that first half pick, you know, they can win this game going away. But they held on for dear life. They made the plays when they had to. They scored 17 points off three turnovers.
Yeah. Opportunistic.
So, they finished. They put the ball in the end zone. It's amazing what happens when you put the ball in the end zone. Both quarterbacks, by the way, they were short touchdown throws, but they are nice throws.
Yeah.
I mean, the ball to DK is a really good ball, all right? And even though it was 1 yard, the ball from Sanders to, was it Njoku?
Yes.
It was a nice ball. It was spot on. Like the Caleb Williams to Zacchaeus in the Bears-Packers game, that pass was unreal. Yeah. It was stupid, but it was unreal.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Corey, thank you, sir, for taking time to be with us this morning. We will talk to you next week, and we'll see if the Titans can make it two in a row.
I understand you enjoyed it. I don't blame you. I'm a wonderful guest. And I will be here next week.
That sounds good. Corey Curtis, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic. Every Monday morning at 8 o'clock here on the program. Titans win 31-29. Your reaction coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. I got some tickets to give away. A pair of tickets to the Liberty Mutual Music City Bowl at Nissan Stadium. Coming up on Tuesday, December the 30th. Tennessee taking on Illinois. Be caller number 5, 615-737-1025. Caller 5 will win a pair of tickets to the Liberty Mutual Music City Bowl, Tennessee and Illinois coming up. By the way, we will have Scott Ramsey on tomorrow to discuss that, the Nashville Sports Council and the Vols back in Music City. So we'll see what that game looks like. And, you know, last time Brett Bielema was in a bowl game, Joe, the opposing coach tried to fight him. So we'll see if Heupel does that at Nissan Stadium as well.
I mean, Bielema, Heupel, that's a little bit more weight class against weight class.
I agree.
You know, that would be a little bit more of a fair fight. Poor little Shane would have been
driven into the earth like Shedeur Sanders was by Tavondre Sweat yesterday.
Well, that's it. That is true. Yeah. Yeah. Tennessee, Illinois. What's the excitement level? What's the excitement level? I mean, we can get into this more this week, of course, but the Tennessee, Illinois Music City Bowl for Vols fans and then for Vanderbilt fans. The Relia quest against Iowa.
Can we outlaw local teams from playing Iowa? Can we sign some sort of petition? I mean, if Notre Dame could just up and decide they don't want to play in the bowl game, can we not, as a society, up and decide we're not playing against Iowa?
Or just Iowa's just not allowed to play at all?
Yeah.
Just ban them? Yeah. I will say that obviously Iowa – hard to watch on offense. They try. They're maybe slightly better this year, but they are very good on defense. They're excellent always on defense. So this will be at least like a chance to, you know, to see Vanderbilt's offense against a legit D. I mean, so from that perspective, you know, I think it's interesting. But yeah, still, just kind of cringe when you say Iowa.
We'll see how legit they are. I mean, I was told that one time. Then I watched Nico Imaliava look like Mike Vick out there. So we'll see. See how it goes.
That's true. That
Vanderbilt,
is true.
Vanderbilt favored in the game by 2.5, by the way. So there you go.
2.5.
2.5.
That's disrespect to Vanderbilt.
I agree. Titans win 31-29 against the Cleveland Browns yesterday. Joe, that stat that I threw out there to Corey last segment, pretty incredible. A pass rush win rate, say that 5 times fast, of 4% for Myles Garrett in the game, which is the second lowest mark of his career, and it came against the Mandor, Latham, and this Tennessee Titans offensive line. Joe, in the list of surprises of what we saw yesterday, where does that one rank?
Yeah, well, it's one of those things, like, if you told me that stat, like, that this would be the stat, or if I didn't watch the game, then I'd be like, okay, so let me actually see it. How many times – and, you know, look, it's not like I've broken down the film, but to me, everybody doubles him. Like, it hasn't stopped him from doing what he's done and wrecking games, right? So, but I do think that the game plan and the effectiveness of the plan working is what this is all about. It's running at him, running at him, running at him. And then, you know, sometimes they would boot or they would just roll away from him. You know, again, teams all try to do that, though. You know, I think it's just the fact that Pollard had the game he had.
Yeah.
And just the running game was all of a sudden out of nowhere great. It's probably the biggest. It's not like I can come away from that game and say, man, Dan Moore, holy cow, we were wrong about that guy, you know. But you got to give credit to all of them who teamed up to block him. I mean, it's probably, like Corey said, this is one of those games where if you're him, I mean, what were you all talking about? I'm sure they were talking about it in Cleveland last week, all week. He can get the record in this game, you know. Like, it's not just like he can get a sack or two, which is, I mean, if you get a sack or two in the NFL every week, you're going to end up with, you know, you're going to be in the 20s. You're going to set the record. This is like, no, he can get 4 sacks this week. He can set the record. So if you're him, you probably thought it was just like you're just going to all day just tear in there and have a field day. And, again, they hit him in the mouth.
It did kind of look like – yeah.
I give credit to Mike McCoy.
It did kind of look like Cleveland was just kind of expecting the Titans to roll over and not play hard at all, and it didn't really turn out that way. Both teams really – Cleveland in particular, I felt on defense, lacked some juice.
Yeah. Yeah, Grant Delpit getting thrown around like a rag doll by the Tennessee Titans quarterback.
I just thought it was a heck of a coach game by Mike McCoy.
I'm surprised they didn't call that in the grasp. You know,
I am blow that play, too. Yeah.
You know, yeah. You see that. Yeah. You blow that play dead considering – but, hey, it's like Steve McNair in the Super Bowl.
The greatest incompletion of all time, right. Maybe. Good stuff.
Cam Ward yesterday. I mean, yeah, I think it was Slareth on the broadcast. I mean, he couldn't get enough of it yesterday.
Yeah, they replayed that like 20 times.
Yeah, they did.
I mean, it was pretty impressive.
It was.
But I agree, that play definitely is called in the grasp like probably more times than not by the time he shrugged him
especially
off.
Especially when this quarterback.
Yeah. By the way, I do want to correct myself real quick before we continue the conversation coming up on the Titans and the Browns. I looked at the wrong column here, Joe. It's actually 4.5-point favorite for Vanderbilt against Iowa, so not as disrespectful.
Okay. That's a little better, but honestly, like to me, like they should be like 7.5-point favorites, but, you know, we'll see.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Titans get the win. They score in the 30s. They limit Myles Garrett to 1 sack and 1 pressure. We'll take it any way you want to take it on the game yesterday. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. Join Chase and Big Joe today from noon to 3 at Dunkin', located at 4930 Thoroughbred Lane in Brentwood. You could stop by with a stuffed toy and donate it to a child this holiday season. 1025 the game's teamed up with Nashville Children's Alliance to give all these awesome stuffed toys donated by you. Just for stopping by, you'll be qualified for a 4-pack of tickets in the all-inclusive 501 Club at Bridgestone Arena to a Preds home game. We'd also like to thank the Nashville Police Department, Metro Nashville Police Department, the Catalano Group, the Bluemont Group, Family Leisure, Thompson Machinery, Richmar Florist, Right Time HVAC, and Ready Lane for their involvement in all this as well. For more information and a list of Dunkin' locations that you can donate a stuffed toy, visit thegamenashville.com/toy. Taking your thoughts on the Titans at 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. They win 31-29 against the Browns. Joe, that does knock them to, at the moment, according to tankathon.com, to third in the draft order. The Giants at 2-11, Vegas at 2-11, Titans at 2-11. People have asked about the head-to-head between the Raiders and the Titans. I believe strength of schedule is the first tiebreaker when it comes to determining the draft order, and then head-to-head.
And that's even, and I was wondering if that was, if it was more than two teams, but it is, even if it's just two teams, that is it. That is, strength of schedule is the first tiebreaker, head-to-head is after that. So, Essentially, they have to have a worse record to have the higher pick than those two teams. They play each other, so unless it's a 0-0 tie, which would be fitting, one of them will get a win there. Will the loser of that game, probably the Raiders, get a win anywhere else? Whew. I don't know, man.
It's looking rough.
Yeah. I mean, it's the NFL, so sure, could happen, but yeah.
We were having a conversation last week about, are the Titans one of the worst teams in the history of the league? And they just rolled out there and scored 31-1. So things can change very quickly.
That's right. They are no longer in the running for that discussion.
That is true. That is true. Dennis throwing the question out there, Joe. Heading into the last month of the season,
Has your ceiling for Cam Ward changed from what you thought before the year? Mine hasn't, but my feeling of how long it's going to take to get there has. This is from Dennis on the text line. Joe, what do you think of that?
Well, I'm locked out of the text line again.
Nice.
But I would ask Dennis, I'd follow up first of all with Dennis. What do you think, what is your ceiling for him? For me, the ceiling for him, has it changed? No, I mean, I would not have drafted him. I did not think, and I do not think, that he's going to end up being like a great top of the league quarterback. I still think he can be a good quarterback and a quarterback you can win with. So that's probably, so for me, the answer is probably it really hasn't changed that much. I mean, I don't really feel markedly worse about him based on this season. Now, if someone thought he was going to come in and set the world on fire, then maybe you do feel markedly worse, or maybe you thought his ceiling was, and again, I don't know, man. Like, okay, in 3 years, is he a top five quarterback in the NFL? Is that impossible? No, but my personal answer to that would be it hasn't changed.
No, I'm kind of with you. I mean, I will say he has missed on some more open throws than I thought. And, you know, we were concerned about that heading into all this, but he's missing some pretty much every week, and that to me is a problem. Like, you gotta not do that. At some point, and even yesterday, he missed on a couple of throws.
It was
where,
a DK one this week,
just
in
wide
particular.
Open. And you can't miss that. So, you know, to your point, am I just convinced that Cam Ward's never going to be any good and they're never going to win with him? No, I'm not convinced of that. But I thought drafting him where they drafted him was a stretch to begin with. And I think that it's going to require him to improve a lot over the next few years to get to the point where you look at him and you're like, yeah, that's like a top eight quarterback in the league right there. And, you know, we've talked about this before, Joe. You don't necessarily have to have a top eight quarterback in the league to win and win at a high level. I think we would all agree that, not to bring up Ryan Tannehill again today for like the third time, but, I mean, Tannehill was not a top eight quarterback in the league. Now, he had some stretches where he played like it, and that's what you need. You need to get yourself a team around him where it's possible to have those stretches where you can play like that.
Can Cam Ward be, quote unquote, a franchise quarterback? Well, if that means, can he get the second deal and play through that deal and be your long-term answer? Yes. And I'll look at, let's take another team today, feeling pretty good about itself, doing pretty well, not putting everything on its quarterback, but he's playing pretty well. And they might win their division. That's the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yep.
Again, how many Jags fans are just gaga about Trevor Lawrence? Probably very few. And I'm sure some Jags fans are still like, I wish we could do something else. But you know what? You might win the division. And that team, I mean, I got to say, we were giving the Colts their flowers. And I'm with Corey, like the Texans defense, they're dangerous right now. But the Jags are pretty good, man.
They are.
I think Liam Cohen was a pretty good hire, and they've got some good players on both sides of the ball. And again, he is playing well. He's playing winning football. That's obviously, you want more than that, but like, just getting to that, how different would everything be for the Titans fan? And that is possible. That is on the table if you have a competent front office.
Well, you hire a 9-year-old to be your general manager, and sometimes good things can happen that way. And as somebody pointed out on the text line earlier, like Borgonzi, the moment he leaves Kansas City, the Chiefs just fall apart. They're not even going to make the playoffs this year.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, how about that? And, yeah, I guess I'm never going to stop making fun of.
They could win five Super Bowls. I'd still make fun of them.
But, you know, sometimes I guess, you know, hiring the young whiz kid can pay off.
By the way, Liam Cohen now up to number 2 in the odds for the NFL Coach of the Year. Vrabel is the runaway favorite at minus 175. Cohen at number 2 at plus 650 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Mike McDonald 3, Ben Johnson 4, and Kyle Shanahan at number 5.
Yeah, I think if Ben Johnson wins yesterday against your beloved Packers, he's probably like right there. But no, Bears going one day from the 1 seed to the 7 seed.
It's kind of
so
wild.
It's gonna be a hell of a race for the playoff spots in the NFC. Yeah, I feel like Vrabel, yeah, if they win the division, I feel like even if they don't get the number one seed, if they win the division, I think he's got that on lock.
Any big takeaways from the Ward versus Sanders conversation yesterday? We've had a lot of people talk about it. A lot of Titans fans text in and say, you know, it's kind of concerning that Shedeur Sanders looked that much better than Cam Ward did yesterday. As Corey pointed out, you have to bring this up in the conversation. I mean, Sanders did throw for 364 yards, three touchdowns, had a brutal pick in the game. He was going up against the Titans defense. The Titans defense and the Browns defense, at least what they've been to this point this year, two very different things. But what do you make of the Sanders versus Ward discourse in the aftermath of that one yesterday?
Yeah, look, like Corey laid it out well with, you know, one of them's going up against a great defense on the road. It didn't look like a great defense because they let Tony Pollard look like Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
Just hitting home runs. But that is a very good defense. And, again, the run game did a lot of the lifting for the Titans. And so it is a different game. The other side, Shedeur Sanders is playing against a team with, you know, no corners. I mean, that, like honestly, you know, I know Marcus Harris forced a fumble yesterday, but the Titans corner group right now would have to be probably as weak as any in the league or very close to it. And I'm not trying to diminish. I like Shedeur Sanders. I hope anybody who was mocking me on, like, including Kaharski, with all his BS, watched yesterday. I mean, he had an eyeful of it in the press box. The kid can play. I don't know if he's going to end up being a good player or if he's going to be a long-term starter. The negative plays sometimes that he invites are like, dude, you cannot keep doing that stuff. And the pick he threw was terrible. But how many throws did he make yesterday? Like, dang, like that was a really good throw. I think he made four or five where I was like, that's just a big-time throw, you know? He's very accurate, so good for him. But to me it doesn't even really belong. Like I understand they were compared during the draft process because we always have to have some draft comparison. Like this year, I guess it'll be Mendoza and who's going to be the foil to Mendoza as we head into the draft. I honestly don't even know.
The Oregon kid,
maybe Dante Moore. But then, you know, if he comes out and has an awful game against Texas Tech, who knows? I mean, Ty Simpson was supposed to be that guy 3 weeks ago, right? But anyway, I just at this point, it's just one of those things that really doesn't matter too much. It's totally different situations for both of them in the game yesterday. And one of them is going to have a long runway to prove he can do this. And Shedeur, I mean, I have no idea. I think the Browns, you know, they're not going to be at the top of the draft, but that doesn't mean that they're not going to try to move up and grab somebody, which is, of course, if you're the Titans, well, you'd love to have that top pick and have the Browns make a dumb trade with you.
I am really interested to see what they do because, I mean, first off, that's another team that's going to be, at the moment, right behind the Titans in the draft order that could need a quarterback. And let's say the Titans do weasel their way back into the number one overall pick. Like, it would be good for them, along with the Jets, along with whatever team you want to throw in there, if the Browns decided that they needed a quarterback in this draft. I'm interested to see if that happens, though. I mean, on the one hand, you've got Deshaun Watson practicing again. So I guess I mean, he's got another year on his deal, so I guess that's an option for him.
He is making a lot of money. In case no one's mentioned that.
Dylan Gabriel, I guess, still an option to start some games the rest of the year for the Browns. And you have Shedeur, who, you know, it's not been perfect. It's not like he's been great, but he's been pretty good so far with the Browns. So, like, if it were me, I'd probably start Shedeur the rest of the way and see if you can get more of a feel of what you've got there. And then hopefully, like, he makes it a legitimate decision for them at the end of the year as to what they're going to do at quarterback.
If Kevin Stefanski goes back to Dylan Gabriel after yesterday, fire him and Titans don't hire him. That's idiotic.
I agree.
Dylan Gabriel, dude, he's not going to be a starter in the NFL. Shedeur Sanders may not be either. There's absolutely more ceiling there with Shedeur Sanders, and possibly, you know, interest from elsewhere too. Like, keep putting him out there. I find that to be, I mean, I understand all the stuff about the draft and everything and whatever, you know, the GM did this, you know, but like at this point, if you're Kevin Stefanski, like, What would you be doing? What would be the benefit of switching back? Not to mention, like, if you want to make sure that all Cleveland Browns fans hate you, do that. Like, no one wants to see that, man.
Dylan Gabriel's thrown 7 touchdowns and 2 picks. You put some respect on his name. Never mind the fact that he's like 5'9", and he's completed 59.5% of his passes.
Yeah, all due respect, okay? All due respect to the guy I'm disrespecting, Dylan Gabriel. No, sit down. I hope that was just like coach speak in the heat of the moment after one of the dumbest two-point conversions I've ever seen where he takes the quarterback off the field. I really do.
That was good stuff. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Final thoughts on the Titans' 31-29 win against the Cleveland Browns. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Starting on Thursday between noon and 3, Chase and Big Joe will have your chance to win a $100 Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa gift card and qualify to win a $1,000 Genesis Diamonds gift card as well. It's the 12 days of Christmas on 102.5 The Game. Titans win 31-29. Taking your thoughts on the second win of the year for the Tennessee Titans yesterday. Tony Pollard, 25 carries, 161 yards on the ground, 2 touchdowns for the Titans. He had a 65-yarder, had a 32-yarder in the game. Titans only threw for 117 yards yesterday and still put up 31 points. Yeah, Joe, I think Corey hit on something there that we're going to find out, and I think I know how most Titans fans would probably lean with this answer, but we'll see. Was yesterday just a complete anomaly, like a total fluke by the Titans? Or have they actually maybe found something here? Not that they're going to go on some run and win every game the rest of the year. But, I mean, you're a week removed, Joe, from them playing one of the worst games we've seen them play, being totally non-competitive against Jacksonville, and frankly looking for a lot of the game like they would have rather been anywhere else. And then yesterday it was kind of the complete opposite of that. So I do wonder what that looks like against a much more talented team in San Francisco coming up this weekend.
Yeah, I think so much of this is teams don't quit, teams don't tank. Certainly, like players, coaches, they do not tank, okay? They don't quit. But when you get to December, if you're a team that really isn't playing for much and the other team is trying to run the football at you, is there a little bit less? Like Ian said, Cleveland looked like they had a lot of juice yesterday, you know? I mean, that's to me, it's like when you play teams like that, I mean, I don't know, the Saints just beat the Bucks on the road, so who knows. But so I think, you know, some of this, like running the football is something that I thought they would actually have a chance to do pretty well this year. It has not worked out that way. It did in this game. But when you play a team like the Niners, I mean, the Niners are in an absolute battle to get into the playoffs, so it's probably going to look a little different. But I'd keep trying because running game is one of the quarterback's best friends. And so you keep trying to do that, and you hope you can get some play action off it. And, again, like Corey said, you know, Cam Ward didn't have great numbers, and he didn't have a great game. He did make some really good throws, and I think particularly in the red zone. You got both of those young receivers got a TD. So you try to build on some of that stuff and see if you can carry it forward. And, obviously, you have your own game wrecker. I mean, he was the biggest game wrecker on the field yesterday. It was 98 for the Titans, not 95 for the Browns.
Joe, let's do something we've not had a chance to do yet, and who knows, may never have a chance to do again. Let's hear just a snippet of Mike McCoy's victory speech for the Tennessee Titans yesterday.
Don't ever forget this feeling. We've been through the ups and downs the entire year, okay? But I'll just say this. We said it was going to be a physical game, right? Most team rushing yards since 2022.
Oh, my God.
Career high by Tony. 25 carries, 161. First blocked punt since 2012.
Titans are fired up in there, Joe, including apparently some absolute shock that the running game was as productive as it was yesterday.
So I saw the video they showed. I need to know who was like, oh my God. I got to know who that was.
We ran for how many yards?
Was that Simmons? Oh my God.
Simmons out there just giving J.C. Latham hug in the
You know, a bit hard on you, kid, but good job yesterday.
Oh, man. I got to say, you got to, like, if you're a fan, and you know what, I guess I thought maybe there'd be a little bit more, oh, my God, they screwed themselves on the draft front today.
We're getting more of that as the show goes along.
Yeah, but, like, step back and – You gotta feel kind of good for those guys to, like, at least, like, not have to spend the aftermath of a Sunday saying the same stuff over and over again about how frustrated they are. You know, yeah. Like, to those guys, this is huge, fast, strong men smashing into each other for 3 hours every Sunday. Like, yeah, a win is a big deal to those guys. So you gotta feel good for them.
Well, and by the way, like, you know, I know. They don't ask you how you do it in the NFL. They just ask you how many you win, and they have won a game prior to that this year. But we all know what happened in the Arizona game. Like, I mean, it was all-time stuff that gave you that game. So for them to also go out there and actually win the football game, like just win it, that's a good thing. I mean, I understand you're worried about the draft, and again, the Titans still very well can end up with the number one overall pick here. So we'll see. I wouldn't panic about that yet. But, boy, is it it's a refreshing change of pace, I think, for them in that locker room.
Yeah, no question about it. So, you know, at this point, and of course, you want to be as high in the draft as possible. But, you know, I could see them winning one or two more. I think it's possible.
No, the Chad is convinced, by the way, that the oh, my God, was Trey in the locker room there, the caller Trey.
Love you.
Cam, you sounded good today.
Oh, my God.
Was he, yeah, did he have his hands over his eyes so he could only hear what was going
Tony,
on?
Tony, pretty light with your steps today. It was good. Keep it up.
I heard that move you made. That was really good. Why are people getting after Trey? And why didn't Trey call today? No call from Trey
he
today.
He did call, actually, right before Corey Curtis called in.
Oh, okay.
Trey had something about the College Football Playoff Committee and how it was a sham.
Okay.
So.
All right.
So the Titans get a win, and Trey's like, you know, I don't want to talk about the Titans anymore. No. Let's talk about the Playoff Committee. Come on, Trey. It's a Victory Monday, buddy. Get excited.
Joe, it's a big win for the Titans. Congratulations to Titans fans today, particularly those of you who have sat at Nissan Stadium all year. Now, maybe the next step is, you know, before the end of the year, maybe they can win a, you know, home game. That'd be nice at some point. We'll see what
Saints
that looks
coming
like.
Coming in, right?
That's true. That is true. Joe, we'll get into more of this throughout the week on the college football front. But my message to you today is just pretty simple. You better enjoy every last second of watching James Madison and Tulane in the playoff. Don't you dare change that channel early. You better watch every last snap.
Well, we're having my grandma's celebration of life at that exact moment. But, hey, that's cool. You know, we'll just dismiss that.
How did you have to do that to me? that is not fair.
I mean, that is true. But I will DVR them, and I will watch every single freaking snap just for you.
Good. I hope so. You no longer have to do it live, and we end the show with me feeling very badly about myself. That does it for us today.
Go Dukes.
Here on the program. Next man up with Jake Lyman coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.